Imagine with me for just a moment, whether you're a believer or whether you're an unbeliever, just think with me for a second. What if God really existed and you had perfect faith in him? What if you were absolutely confident God was with you? What if you were confident that everything that came your way was part of a divine plan, and someday you would look back and see how it all fit together? Imagine what would happen to your stress and fear levels. What if you were confident God really had your best interest in mind, and when he gave us his laws and principles to live by, you could just follow them? What if when you faced temptation, you immediately went into the mode of, God, I trust you to get me through this. And then you leaned hard toward God and just walked away from the temptation. If we lived with the confidence God was with us and for us and working through us, our responses to everything would be so different, wouldn't they? Job losses would be no big deal. Sicknesses, we could take those. Emotional problems and conflict would be no big deal. Last week, we talked about this. We talked about man's problems began when we quit trusting God. And Christianity is an invitation to begin trusting God again. An invitation to enter again into a relationship with God through Christ. God is most honored. God receives the most glory through our living, active, death-defying, out-of-the-box faith and trust in him. Every once in a while, I meet Christians who have fully embraced that big faith. They are compelling people. And when you hear their stories, five things always emerge. Five things stand out in all of our counseling sessions when people tell us how they came to Jesus. Five things that God uses to build our faith. The first one that we're talking about today is practical teaching. It shows us where we're at, and it shows us where we need to go, and it shows us how to get there. The second one that we'll be talking about next week is wholesome relationships. Wholesome relationships allow us to hear from God through other people. Personal spiritual disciplines are so important, and they help us grow, and they actually tune our hearts into God's heart. Servant ministry is another one. Actually stepping out and serving others, it enables us to experience God's power in challenging circumstances. Challenging circumstances always have a way to force us, no matter what's going on, to look at God in our life. For these next few weeks, we will look at all of these. But today, we're going to look at the importance of practical teaching. You see, when your obedience intersects with God's faithfulness, God shows up and your faith gets bigger. When your act of faith intersects with God's faithfulness, God shows up and your faith gets stronger. But when you talk to people with big faith, when they are people who are living it out and started living it out when someone challenged them with scripture. They showed up in an environment where God's word was being taught. But not just as more information, but instead God's word was being taught practically. This is why this happens. And this is what you can do about it when it does happen in your life. And then they walk away, not just a little bit smarter, but they walked away saying, I didn't know that was in there. And now I know what to do about my problem in life, my challenges. It just makes so much sense. When someone walks away not just knowing more about God, not just knowing more information, but when someone walks away knowing what God wants them to do, their faith gets bigger. The problem is most churches are content to only tell you what to believe. And if you believe it, That's enough. But when Jesus taught, it was so different. He taught to application, not just knowledge. I want you to turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus had just unloaded a brand new value system, a brand new way of believing on his listeners. Jesus' teaching moved people to action. Their teachers, the people that were teaching them, helped people know more. But Jesus moved them to do more, to actually walk out what he was saying by faith. People with big faith do this, Jesus said. And then he launched into this whole sermon in a synopsis. That's what he was saying. In other words, here's what it looks like when you have big faith. And then he went into his message. He said things like, lust is the same thing as adultery, and they're both sin. And people with big faith, they just stay away from even lust. Turn the other cheek, you've heard that said. That's in this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And people with big faith, they don't get all bent out of shape about injustice. Instead, they trust God with all the wrongs done to them. If someone wants a favor, Jesus said, big faith people do way more than they ask. They go the extra mile. They give the other tunic, even if it costs them something extraordinary. They just trust God with all the extra he might have them give away. Money? Big faith people don't just give it. They just give it away. Jesus didn't even give them a percentage. He just said, trust God with all the money I give you. Forgive. Big faith people forgive no matter what. Even if it feels like you're letting someone get by with something, they just lavish forgiveness because of all that they've been forgiven for. Big faith people cherish relationships. This is all in the sermon Jesus preached just before what we're talking about today. Big faith people cherish relationships. They actually pursue people who've wronged them in their life to help make that relationship right because they love them. Big faith people treat everyone the way they want to be treated. The golden rule in Scripture, right in this sermon that Jesus was preaching. Big faith people trust God to make up whatever difference they might lose in all of this. And even if he doesn't decide to make it up, they just lean into him more and more and more and trust him in all these things. You can read and should read this fabulous teaching for yourself from Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of my favorite multi-chapter passages of the Bible. Read it for yourself this week. It's an incredible message to help you get big faith into your life. And after he finished this incredible, authoritative, practical teaching, Jesus closed with this parable that we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Look at this with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and, get this, and, look at this, puts them into practice. So what do? They heard it, but they also put it into practice. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus was saying, in order for his teaching to have any impact, you've got to do something. Believing is not enough. Some churches think attendance is the measure to spiritual growth. I was raised in a church like that. But Jesus said, no. If you hear but don't do, you don't gain anything. If you hear and do, you get big, gigantic faith. If you really believe, your faith will move you to action. If you really believe, you'll obey what God says. Your obedience is proof of your belief. Your doing is proof of your belief. When your obedience, because obedience is really an act of faith toward God, when your obedience and your faith intersect with God's faithfulness, when you put feet to your theology and begin to do some of the things the Bible says to do, God honors your obedience because your obedience is an act of faith. You say, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. Not because it makes sense. Not because I've seen someone else do it. Not because I've seen it in culture. Not because I think it'll work. Not because I think it will make my life better. God, I'm going to do what you've asked because you said to do it. That's an expression of I trust you, God. That's an expression of God, I believe you. That's an expression of big, giant faith. That doesn't typically happen until someone comes along with some practical teaching and shows you the instruction and how to practically apply it to your life. It's one thing to believe in weightlifting and another thing to actually go and lift weights. It's one thing to believe in good nutrition and a whole nother thing to actually eat healthy. One thing that explodes your faith is when you put yourself in environments where the Word of God is taught. Not just so you can know something more, but the Bible is taught in terms of application to your life so you can actually do it, so you can actually apply it. Listen to verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house in a giant hurricane. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The implication is you can believe something and still be an idiot, still be a fool. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. A church that models Jesus will teach for application, not just for more knowledge. I want you to hear me clearly today. We don't obey to gain God's acceptance. By faith, we already have that. We obey because of God's acceptance. God doesn't just want your obedience. If that's all he wanted, he could force that issue. He is God. Instead, he wants you to trust him. Instead, he wants you to love him. Instead, he wants you to take him at his word. And when you do, you will develop big, giant faith. Because he knows that if you really believe him, you will obey him. And if you really trust him, you will do what he says. Obedience is an act of faith. He loves me, and I want to please him. It's the same exact way in my marriage. Kimberly loves me, and because of that love and trust, she wants to please me. I love my wife, Kimberly, and I love pleasing her. His ways, God's ways, are always, always, always the best in the long run. He's omniscient. He knows absolutely everything. Why wouldn't we trust and do what he says? Kimberly and I look back over our lives, and we are so grateful, not just for what we know, but more importantly, for the decisions we've made based on what we know. And the way our parents raised us to obey God, we're so thankful for that. Obedience makes all the difference. I'm glad somebody taught me early on that my friends would determine the direction and quality of my life. It has saved me so much trouble. And because of that lesson, I've actually avoided some people in my life. I'm so glad someone taught me later on. I wish it had been sooner, but they taught me purity leads to intimacy. And it certainly does. I'm so glad that someone taught me in my life to stay under authority in order to become an authority. If you can't stay under authority, you will never be in authority. I'm so glad someone, and again, I wish this lesson would have been much sooner. I think my dad tried and it just didn't take it first, but I'm so glad someone taught me to give, then save, then live. That lesson is so, life is so much better with no consumer debt. Kimberly and I got that from church, from scripture, from Proverbs. Obedience begins with exposure to God's word in an environment where it is crystal clear what we are to do and where we are inspired to take that action. At South Bay, we are fanatical about presenting God's word in a practical way. We strive for that. We strive for a warm, appealing setting, engaging communication, and extremely helpful content. That is one of our biggest priorities. We ask three questions all the time in all of our planning. What do you need to know? What do you need to do about it? And why? That's such a critical question. Why do you need to do it? There's a place for quiet reflection. There's a place to come and feel close to God. But listen, friends, and I don't want to offend anybody, but Sunday morning, our weekend services, that is not the time. Prayer meeting is a setting for that. Your daily quiet time every morning, I pray that you have one, is the setting to draw near to God. And we create some of that, I suppose, in our weekend worship services. But they're primarily a time to be challenged in your faith and toward obedience to God. Read what happened when Jesus opened the Old Testament and read. It wasn't a quiet, reflective moment. Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. When Jesus read the Old Testament in crowds, it started riots. In John chapter 8 at the temple, they did a Q&A after the sermon, and the people tried to stone Jesus. Not once, but also in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, in the synagogue in Nazareth, and we visited this place when we were in Israel a year and a half ago. Look at this. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Isn't that crazy? When Paul preached the gospel, he got arrested and stoned several times. The church isn't here to make you feel good. The church isn't here to make you feel warm and fuzzy. The church is here to confront your life with truth, to help you walk in it. And that usually doesn't feel very good. It's not typically warm and fuzzy. The truth is often painful. Lane Jones made this comment. He said, unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good. The value is in the application. And Jesus agreed. Application makes all the difference. So one of the things God uses to move us toward big faith is application-oriented teaching. Teaching that moves us to action. Teaching that moves us to express faith in God by doing what he says in spite of what we see. Our obedience usually unleashes the faithfulness of God in our lives, and that's when and how we experience him. Imagine with me for just a moment what your life would look like if you trusted God completely. You see, God doesn't just want your obedience. I've said it before, I'll say it again in this series. He could force that if that's all he was after. Instead, he wants you to love, trust him. Instead, he wants you to love him. Instead, he wants you to take him at his word because he is God. When you do that, you won't be able to do anything else but obey. Most of the time, we are focused on the wrong thing. We're trying to obey instead of trust. But listen carefully, friends. If we will trust, then we will obey. This week, I want you to do something. Isn't that shocking? On the bottom of your sermon notes, there's a link to get your sermon notes. On the bottom of your sermon notes and in your community group this week, I'm challenging you to do this. I want you to identify two areas of your life where you need a bit more application and where that application would make a noticeable difference in your life. If you did this, you would see it. Maybe your husband would see it, or your wife would see it, or your kids would notice. Don't do it for that reason, but a noticeable difference in your life. And would you just believe God enough to do it? Would you just lean into that teaching and apply it to your life? Would you just do it? Would you identify two areas of your life where a bit more application would make a noticeable difference in your life, and then do it? Don't be like unapplied paint, worthless. Do it. Do God's word. He will never let you down. Listen, we're going to close in prayer with a time of reflection because I really think you need to take this to your heart. So would you bow your heads? Father, we just come before you today praising you. You are our God and we are your people. And God, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, that you don't just teach us something new for the sake of knowledge. We're so thankful for that when you do, God. But that's not your point. God, you want that truth to rock our world. You want that truth to change our hearts, our spiritual DNA, to help us become more and more like Jesus. God, open our minds to that. Today, Lord, if there's someone watching, and chances are, Lord, there's many watching here that haven't placed their faith and trust in you. And that's what this whole series is about, is developing big faith in our lives. Would you help them trust you today? Would you help them see their sin, their lies, their deceit, their adultery, their lust in their hearts, they've used God's name in vain, probably, if they're anything like me, if they have hatred, it's the same as murder, all of those things, God. Lord, the penalty for sin is death. We deserve a cosmic death penalty in the hands of God. But you loved us so much. You sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to take our place on Calvary, that we could be forgiven of our sins, set free from the penalty, because Jesus paid the death penalty for us. Father, would you help everybody listening right now, everybody watching right now, would you help them understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you grant them by faith, Lord, right now? Would you give them the gift of faith to believe you? The gift of repentance right now in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I pray that you wouldn't help them work so much on obedience, but instead, show them what an awesome God you are. Show them how trustworthy you are. And Lord, the obedience will take care of themselves. Peter said, where else are we going to go? You said, are you going to leave like all the others to your 12 apostles? And Peter said, where else would we go? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? Who else would we listen to? Lord, you know everything about everything. So God, draw us in. Whether we know you or not, Lord, I pray those who don't know you would know you. Those that know you would get deeper in their faith, their trust of Jesus. And Lord, help them obey you as a result of your trustworthiness. Father, we praise you today. We exalt you. We honor you. You are so incredibly good to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. friends, I want you just to meditate on God today as Pastor Matt and Kim lead us in this song.
There is none beside.